In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel lesson, our Lord Jesus calls upon us to be light in the midst of darkness. The text goes like this. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In a typical house in the ancient Middle East, there were few windows, maybe one, maybe two, maybe none at all. And so light was precious. And in fact, throughout most of human history, light has been precious. Think of a modern art restorer. The art restorer working on some masterpiece can arrange light of every brilliance and every wavelength and can work steadily at the work. But think of the original artist. When the nightfall comes, the artist has to lay aside his brushes, lay aside her work. Suppose he's working on a certain detail, or suppose she's being swept along by inspiration. No matter, if the night comes, then without a lamp, that work simply has to stop and wait again for the morning. Or again, think of the brilliant writing of Bach. When the night time comes without a lamp, those beautiful compositions simply have to pause, wait again for the morning. Or think of young Abraham Lincoln in his childhood home in southern Indiana. He's reading his Bible or whatever few books that he can borrow. But when the nighttime comes, if he has no lamp, then the moral formation of that great man, that great young man, is just going to have to stop. He'll have to wait for the morning and the morning's labors. Light is a precious thing. Think of a child lost in the woods. Without a lamp, the search might have to come to an end, but with a lamp, they can search on, and the child can see a speck of light off in the distance and come running toward that light. Light is not to be squandered. So, if you light a lamp, you don't want to put a bushel basket over it. I mean, if we were to put a basket over our eternal candle here, it would go out. Light is meant burn, to illumine things. And in fact, maybe there's a little lesson for us in that simple law of nature. Light is meant to illumine. And if it is held back from that natural effect, like a candle covered over by a basket, then it loses its power. It begins to sputter and to go out. Likewise with us. We are the light of the world, Jesus says. But if we do not shine, if we do not actually lend some warmth and light to this world, then in the process we might lose what we have. We might become dim. We might do ourselves damage. So, no one lights a lamp in order to put it under a bushel basket, but to put it on a shelf so that it can illumine everything in sight. Jesus is pretty direct about the matter. He says, in the same way, let your light shine. Let it shine before others, so that they may see your good works. We're not to be bashful about light. The light that's within us. We're to cherish it. I mean, I still kind of smile at the memory of, I think it was Margie Ryer. Long ago when I was first pastor here, I was kind of astonished to find out that she was a little bit unnerved by the countryside. Why? Because in the nighttime it was dark. You go out into the city, there are lights. But the countryside seemed a little bit spooky to her. And I think that the other ladies at the power table said the same thing. We like light. It's not to be squandered. It is to be shared. Three reasons come to mind. Three kind of easy reasons come to mind for letting our light shine. First, for our own sake. Second, for the sake of our neighbors. And third, for the sake of God. So let's work our way through these three reasons. First, for our own sake. If we have some light within us, if we have faith, if we have some understanding of the ways of God and are trying to live according to them, then let's not be bashful. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's try to shine forth in the world. We want no hypocrisy. We don't want to be people of light in the quiet of our homes or in the quiet of the church, but then fail to shine out there in the world as if we want to blend in the world. No. If we have light, integrity requires that we show it, which means that we have to do good deeds. And if we don't do those good deeds, then bit by bit, we threaten to unmake ourselves, to deprive ourselves of light. And then we're going to be embarrassed at the last judgment. So first, for our own sake, if light has been given to us, if the image of Christ has been given to us, if convictions about what is good and true and lovely in a human life have been given to us, then let these things shine forth in the world. Second, our neighbors need us to be shining forth. They need our good deeds. They need them not only for their own sake. I mean, not only because it's an advantage for them to be dealing with virtuous people, but also they need our good deeds simply for the encouragement it gives them that they too could shine with light and they too could do good deeds. It is an encouragement to them. When I do pre-marriage counseling, especially with young people, I love it because they have such high ideals concerning marriage. They're entering into marriage with every intention to do it beautifully. And I try to encourage them on because I believe that this world needs good examples of marriage. We all do. And so I like young people to enter into marriage with that intention, that they might not brag about their marriage, but nonetheless, they'll conduct themselves in such a way that the world looking on will receive some encouragement. I mean, to each of us has been entrusted a treasure, some image of an alternative way of life in this world, a way of life that is grounded in the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. We've been given that treasure, and we should let it shine because there are people in the world who need to see it. They need to know, have a kind of a living illustration that another way of life is possible. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 5, which means it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with verse 13. The preceding verses are what are called the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the pure in heart. One of those blessings is blessed are the peacemakers. Well, the world needs them illustrations, some living illustrations of peacemakers. I remember Richard John Newhouse telling me once that he came upon two strangers who were punching each other, and they were wrestling right there on the sidewalks of New York City. And he stood over top of them and he said, "Now stop that." And they looked up at him and said, "Why?" And in exasperation, he said, "Because I'm a priest." And they stopped. Because it made sense to them that a priest should be a peacemaker. And a priest should be a peacemaker because Christians should be peacemakers. So that's what we should do. We should try to give living illustrations of the Beatitudes. We should try to let other people know that another way of life, a way grounded in Jesus, is in fact a real human possibility. So let your light shine before others. It's good for them that your light should shine. And then third, let it shine for the sake of God. That's the plain reason that we see in our text. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to God your Father. Later today, after this liturgy, we have our catechism class. One of our topics in catechism today is going to be the Second Commandment. The Second Commandment, I believe, is the great commandment behind this matter of letting your light shine. The Second Commandment says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Well, you and I have taken the name of the Lord our God. We bear that name. We are Christians. So we don't want to go out there and somehow bring dishonor to the name of God by the conduct of our life or by the nature of our speech. We want to so conduct ourselves that what Jesus says will be true, as far as we're able, that in the conduct of our life, we bring honor to the name of God. The conduct of our life, it's much more eloquent than any discourse that we can contrive. So, for the sake of ourselves, our neighbors, and for the name of God, let our light shine. Now, later in our gospel lesson, Jesus stands up for the holy law of God. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish it, nor the prophets. I have come to fulfill it. Indeed, not a jot, not a tittle of the law shall pass away until all is accomplished." Well, part of that holy law of God can be found in today's reading from Isaiah chapter 58. And I'd like to lift up a passage there because it gives us some concrete meaning, some concrete instruction in what it means to let your light shine before others. If you would do that, then your life should have these characteristics. That's what the Lord says through his prophet Isaiah. And if we do these kinds of things, then our light will shine, says the Lord. So here's that passage. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice." Is there any way in which we can do that? Perhaps. "To loose the bonds of injustice. To undo the thongs of the yoke. To let the oppressed go free. And to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them, not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. The prophet is writing in a poetic way. We understand that. Consider that appeal of his, that we should break the thong of the yoke. Poetic, but we get its point. We're talking about the burdens that people bear, burdens in our city. The ox, for example, has a yoke laid upon his shoulders. He would love to get rid of that thing. With the toss of his mighty neck, he'd be glad to just throw it away. But he can't, because there are these leather thongs that tie it down to him, and he can't get rid of it. Likewise, in our city, there are people with yokes, burdens weighing them down. The prophet says, if you can, do what you can to loosen that tether. Undo that thong that holds down the yoke. For example, in your own family or in your place of work, there might be someone who is laboring under the yoke of a bad reputation. Maybe they deserve it. Maybe they had some part in it. Maybe they deserve the blame for something they did years ago, but that was years ago, and they would be glad to be free of that bad reputation if only they could. But they don't know how to do it, and people keep relating to them according to that bad reputation. They would love to toss off the bad opinion that people have, but they can't. It's as if there's a leather tether that just holds it down. But you could lend a hand to the lifting of that yoke. You could so conduct yourself toward that one as if to express the theme that with the Lord there is forgiveness and there is a chance for a second start in life. You can conduct yourself toward that person as if you cherish that person. You cherish them even more today than you did before. And people looking on at you will notice. Not only will you give encouragement to that one who is burdened, but people looking on will notice you doing that. And in that way, your light will be shining. And you'll be helping to draw people toward Christ. Again, there are people throughout our city who are laboring under yokes. At last Sunday's Voters Assembly, I shared with you some of my worries about our Meals on Wheels program. It is a great program. It is designed to help the frail elderly who are just burdened by their old age, sometimes by apartment buildings. They have no elevators. They're kind of stuck up there. They're lonely. Our Meals on Wheels program goes out and helps them every Saturday. Light is radiating from our congregation because the Meals on Wheels people are radiating from our congregation. But the whole program is directed by Davida Goldman, and she needs more cooks, she needs more walkers. Saturdays come along in their relentless way, whether it's raining or snowing or whatever. Saturday comes, and if she doesn't have enough meals and she doesn't have enough walkers, she does it herself. But she's getting too frail to do it. It's a good program. There are people who are burdened. But you and I can help lift the burden. We can undo that tether that holds down the yoke. And we should. Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Shine on, and know this, in your shining, whether it's big or little, in your shining, Jesus is proud of you. And he, who is the very light of the world, is going to shine on you. And so none of this world's darkness under which you yourself might suffer, the dullness of Alzheimer's, the discouragement of loneliness, the burdens of poverty or unemployment, and in the end, even the blackness of the grave, none of these things are your destiny. For he who is the light of the world is going to blow them away, and he's going to take our light, the light represented by our little eyes, he's going to take it up into his great light, the light of the world. I mean Jesus, to whom belongs the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.